Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Woo! How are you this morning, Journey Church? Man, what an atmosphere this morning, amen? I love it because I love when we change it up a little bit. The looks on your faces are precious. When the announcements come on, everybody sit down. Of course, the only ones that knew the change up was the people we texted this morning and said, hey, we're shifting gears a little bit this morning. And I'm so thankful for people that allow me the privilege to call an audible at the last minute sometimes. I try not to ever do that because I know that the worship team and people, they pray, man. They hear God, and I trust that what they do every week is right on target. But I think it was Friday night, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to have this song be last. And so I text, and then he's like, we just did that last week. I said, I know we don't like to do two songs, but we're going to have to do this week. No problem, we'll make it happen. And so I'm just so thankful for a team that can just flow at the last minute like that. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's the title of my message today is See a Victory. Because it's time that we start seeing not just a victory, but plural victories. And even just this week, Brother Jeremy Harbison come up and told me, he said, you know, his dad had some major, looking at basically 2 days before his surgery, they told him, come in, have this extensive surgery. If you make it through, we're going to send you home to get ready to do the death, suffering, and dying routine. But 2 days before they told him that, he has the surgery. They don't have to do near what they thought they would. It became so easy for the surgery to happen. He's at home recovering and doing good. Amen? Brother Bill had a complete, he's bionic in his knee now this week. He's at home recovering. Amen? So although those things may come, you can see a victory. Amen? And so this morning, we just want to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for what we are about to see. For those who have eyes to see, let them see in the spirit realm what these scriptures are saying to us today as your children, God. Thank you for this baptism time this morning. We saw the victory there. Thank you for this atmosphere of worship that has set the tone for the word to be seen and not just heard today. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now, how many of you know we are living in we always call it a weird time or a bad time, but do you know bad stuff's been going on ever since the creation of Adam and Eve? But we seem to have an acceleration of it in our lifetime, and not just over there, over yonder, down. It's kind of like it's hitting home everywhere now. And it amazes to me at the personal attacks that people are undergoing, especially in these days that we're approaching, as if you're actually going to live an authentic Christian life outside the church. Come on now. Not just in here when it's good and comfortable and you're in that atmosphere and everybody's kind of like-minded, but when you go outside these walls and you go to work and you go to school and you're in town, if you're still going to live and not be ashamed, man, you're in for some persecution times. On a light level in our nation, we're still not being beheaded yet for our faith. But we are living at a time where about everybody included, I'm talking, if you work, your coworkers. Everybody say my coworkers. Sometimes this will be your friends will do this to you, or your so-called friends. Let's put it like this. I think we're living in a time, and you've seen it the last several years, it could even be part of your family. It could be members of the family. Amen. And unfortunately, it can be what people who call themselves Christians. A lot of those are falling under this category today. I've seen it even into the marriage. We just came out of 4 weeks of marriage, but I've seen it in the marriage where it could be the one spouse to another. It can be your kids today, if you've got kids. All these types of people seem to have one thing in common when it comes to you sometimes. They literally want to see you destroyed. They want to see you taken down. They want to see you miserable. They want to. They literally do. They don't want to see you up high. They don't want to see you succeed. They don't want to see you be blessed. And again, this can be in marriages. I've seen it all. There's three ways people want to destroy us today. These are not going to be in your notes, so you need to write these down. The first one is they physically want you destroyed. Why do you think murder is a thing? People killing people. They want you physically hurt or maimed sometimes. If you hold a political or a personal or a spiritual mandate to the Word of God and they don't adhere to it, they literally hope something happens to you where you're crippled or shut up the rest of your life. I know this is getting heavy right out of the gate. And so there's murder, there's maiming, there's physical abuse they want to bring to you, and they can do it. If they can't do it with their physical hands or a gun or a weapon, they'll do it with their words. They'll try to destroy your reputation. They'll try to destroy who you are in all an effort to get you to shut up. So physical is the first way people try to destroy us. Financial is the second way. Oh, come on now. Divorce. They want to take everything sometime, leave you with nothing. They're so bitter. So bitter. Divorce can cause you financial ruin. You can go to business with somebody and they decide a little bit of greed and you're succeeding and they don't want you to succeed. They can sabotage you in business. They can lie to you in deals and tell you this is great and that and just totally wipe you out. Yeah. It's all happened before. The Ponzi schemes, we've seen those. And then you've got your inheritance or something. And, you know, people want to just take that when you first get it and you don't know how to manage it or something. I've seen it all. I hear the lights. They're resetting. It's okay. So we have physical, we have financial, and then the last one I call psychological or mental. That's a big one. People want to destroy you mentally. Psychologically, they want to be in your head. Come on now, amen? And this has been going on forever. It started with the devil in the garden with Eve getting in her head, destroying her mentally. People want to lie about you, want to gossip. Come on, don't shout me down. And I have put this in where, and this is not just a woman thing, it can be a man thing. They just want to nag on you and complain and whine and gripe constantly to wear you down. To where you'll finally just look and say, fine, I'll do whatever. I'll compromise my faith. I'll go along to get along. Just hush. God help us. And then you got the constant belittling to people. You're worthless. You ain't worth the flip. Da 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 da. Again, words. Everybody say words. And some of our biggest victories we need to have is understanding the Word of God and not letting anybody else's word deter us from God's Word. Whether they're talking about you good or bad, don't believe all the good about you and certainly don't believe all the bad about you. Amen? Don't become a legend in your own mind and don't get in the gutter where everybody's talking about you if they're there. Amen? Everybody say, all these are weapons. And they're weapons to use against you to kill you if they can. But if they can't physically kill you, to mentally, financially, psychologically kill you, to again, where you will just give up and compromise your faith. Amen. I mean, you've got Christians now that think it's okay for the sin that's out there promoting. As long as it doesn't come personally into their house, they will not take a public stand against some of the sin that we're now promoting in our schools. Shame on us. They want you to live in fear and they want you to live in depression if you say anything. And that means they're winning these victories. Now, this is not going to be in your notes, but you need to write this down, at least on your heart. There will be people in your life, on your jobs, and sometimes even in your family through your marriage. They like you broke better than they ever like you fixed. Because as long as you're broke, they got something to complain. They got something to hold over you. They'll say they want you to get fixed, but they won't be a part of the solution. I have seen marriages to where one spouse is praying, pray. My spouse is lost. They don't know Jesus. They just drink all the time, and they're abusive with language, and sometimes physical. Pray. We pray. That sorry rascal gets saved. And the wife can't stand it now. Because now the attention she was getting from her pity party in that is no longer available to her. I've seen this with my own eyes. And go pitching such a fit at home now, still celebrating and rejoicing and getting her new identity in a husband that's wanting to come to church and get his life right with God. to start buying alcohol and bringing it back into the house for him. Yes. Wants that. So again, I'm telling you, there's some people that like you broken and broken down better than they ever would if you got fixed. So the question comes, how do, put it up. First note today is, how do we see a victory? And I don't want you to get a victory mentality. I want you to get victories, plural, mentality. Because there's more than one battle going to come at you in life. And as a church, we don't need to just have one victory. We need to know we've read the back of the book. We've won it all. There ain't nothing we lose. But I want you to understand that people's words are powerful. Say that with me. Say, words are powerful. Our first scriptures, we turn to the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, look at the first two, three letters. Death and life are in the power of what? The tongue, which means you are speaking life and death. The Bible says, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, what? They eat of its fruit. In other words, right now, with every situation you walk into, if you're going to open up what I call the pie hole in your mouth, you are getting ready to either speak life into something or you're speaking death to it. And that includes your kids, that includes your marriage, that includes your friendships, that includes what you believe with God. Just think about that. It's a gateway to blessings of life, or it's a gateway to blessings of death and destruction and divorce. All because of what comes out of your mouth. And we get to choose. Satan does not have control of your mouth unless you forfeit it. Amen? And God does not have control unless you relinquish it to him. Now, I got to park right there a minute because I know I made somebody mad just then. God's in control of everything. Listen to me real close. No, he's not.
That's right.
No, he ain't. Did you come today because you wanted to? Do you think God wants everybody here today?
Right.
Is everybody here?
No.
Well, he didn't have control of that, did he?
Correct.
He don't control everything. He's got ability to control. He has the power to control. But he's relinquished the rights to that control to you and I.
Right.
If he had full control, then this would only read, according to God's word, you will speak life. But the fact that you can speak life or death says he's not in control. In other words, he's not in a forceful control of your life where he's going to make you go against your free will that he gave you. Now, if you're born again, yes, we surrender control to God in our life. We only want to do what Jesus did. Jesus says, I only go where the Father tells me to go. I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. That should be the goal of every born again believer in here. But how many know we all blow it sometimes because we got control? And that's the problem. We've not relinquished that control to Jesus. Are y'all okay with that? Nobody got up and left, so we're still good. Let me go on real quickly. I got a lot of ground to cover today. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Everybody say, this is the book of Revelation. Say, spooky. It's a spooky book of the Bible. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. When?
Now.
Everybody say now.
Now.
When?
Now.
Right now. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. And you say, well, that happened a long time ago. It was a now moment then, and it's a now moment now. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That now moment came to me when I was 16 years old and I realized that I was lost and on my way to hell. And that now moment happened to me when I was 16 years old. And I haven't gotten over it yet. Come on now. I don't want to get over being saved. I know a lot of Christians who think they're kind of over it now and there's just the thing of the past. It's as fresh. Matter of fact, it's fresher today than it's ever been. And if you're born again, it should be the same for you. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
But now watch this. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of the brethren. Everybody say accuser. The accuser of the brethren who accused them, us, me, you, before our God day and night has been cast down.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And in case you don't know that much about the Bible says we're talking about the accuser of the brethren. That means it's the devil. He's the accuser. He's the one that accuses me and you. He's the one that accuses God of our sins. And when you don't have Jesus Christ covering your sins in heaven, he looks and he says, you're right, there they are. But when you've got Jesus Christ and you've received the blood of Christ and you're living your life for God, he says, not guilty by the blood of Jesus. You can accuse all day long, but they accepted the payment for that sin that I gave through Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago, in which we're coming up to Easter. And you don't want to miss Easter this year here, I promise you that. Get everybody you can here. God's going to do an amazing thing that day. I got a special word. I already know exactly what I'm preaching that day. But go on to verse 11. Watch this now. And they overcame him. Him there is the accuser, the devil. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the Bible says, and they did not love their lives unto death. Now go ahead and put up the next note. Now remember this verse. We're going to be a lot in this verse. Go ahead and with the next note. There are three things the Bible lists here in order for you and I to be overcomers of the enemy, of Satan. Three things. Everybody say three things. Not two, but three. I know a lot of times when we quote this scripture or we pray it, Lord, I thank you. I've got the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, and I overcome the enemy. You're almost there. You got to have all three. And I'm going to bring you a fresh revelation I got at about 8:23 this morning in my office going over my notes. I've never had this revelation before, but I got it dropped in my spirit today, and I'll give it to you in just a minute. Everybody say fresh. Do you want it?
Yeah.
I did too, man. It's awesome. I think it's awesome anyway. So there's three things. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Now, again, this may sound weird, but listen to me. It is not just the blood of Jesus that overcomes Satan. Now, the blood of Jesus did defeat Satan, absolutely, 100%. But you have to receive that blood. You have to declare it. It's because of the blood of Jesus that washed your sins away for it to apply to you. Are you with me? So it says the blood of Jesus, but it's not just the blood alone. It's your faith mixed with it. It's your receiving it. And then the word goes on and it says, after the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. So look at your neighbor and say, my words. So in other words, your words now have to be put some kind of your lifestyle where your words are a testimony of how Jesus' blood, you've received it, you've applied it, and how now you are one of God's child. You're a child of the King now. You're not regular. You're supernatural now. Amen? As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your what?
Mouth,
what? That the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Hallelujah. It really is that simple. It's just a surrendering. And then the next verse goes on and says this, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. A lot of people have heart knowledge of Jesus, especially here in the Bible Belt. Everybody knows about Jesus around here. But I've been watching some videos where a young man goes down the aisles of colleges and he's in like walk through malls, kind of like Bridge Street. And he's just walking up to just general people out of the thing. Hey, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? And the vast majority of them look at him and go, no, 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 I'll get out of here. Every once in a while they'll say, well, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe he was the Son of God and was raised from the dead? Nah, I don't think that happened. See, it's not about having heart knowledge. It's not about having a knowledge just there's a figure somewhere in history that is recorded that everybody knows will walk the earth by the name of Jesus. It's knowing him personally, inviting him into your life, being your Lord and Savior. And without that, my friend, we are all destined to hell until we have an experience with Jesus. Not a religion. I tell you what, religion will send you to hell as fast as anything I know. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. But it is with the mouth, words, that your confession is made to your salvation.
Yes.
Everybody say, my words matter.
My words matter.
You have to use your words if you're a born-again believer. You have to communicate to a lost world that you're not like that anymore. Not that you're sitting on some high throne or you're better than anybody else. Absolutely not. It just means you've humbled yourself and you understood, I cannot save myself. I can't pay for my own sins. I can't keep myself out of hell, but I know somebody who can, somebody who did, and somebody I received as my Lord and Savior. That was the evidence of these four people's lives right here today. Hopefully it's been the evidence of your life. If not, what are you waiting on, friend? If you're waiting to get your life together, then come to Christ, you're never going to make it. That's the reason you come to Christ, because your life is not all together. I ask people all the time, do you go get cleaned up to get a bath? No. You go to the bath to get cleaned up. It's the same way you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus with your failures. You come to Jesus with your sins, but you don't leave that way. Woo, thank you. Somebody say, thank you. That's my God. Amen. But you got to use your words. We can't get outside these walls and choke up with our words. Now, we're not going to go out there and spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, beating people over the head with a Bible, telling them how sorry they are. No. But you got to go live in the real world. You got to communicate at work. You got to communicate at school. But you can communicate the way God represents it. Amen. And when the door opens up, and it does open up more than we know, that's a sign for you to step in then with the knowledge and the grace and the love of God. Yes. Not the hatred of God, not the condemnation. But you step in there with the love of God and tell them, this is why I'm different. This is why I don't get drunk. This is why I don't smoke dope. This is why I don't run around on my wife. I can do all those things, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to dishonor God first. Because anybody that would die for me makes me want to live for them. Come on, Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to use your words. Can't be ashamed of him. Come on now, most Christians live outside the church walls like they're ashamed of their faith, like they're ashamed to say that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like it's going to get you in trouble, or it's not going to win you an award, or somebody might cancel you on their page or something. Let them cancel you. I'd rather be written off somebody's page than written out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Any day of the week. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says this, for I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed and will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. And when the church becomes ashamed outside these walls, we see the results. We see a world that has hell speaking more than the church is. No one that ever got born again, God said, I want you to be my undercover Christian. Now my son's blood was shed for you. He was whipped 39 lashes all over his body, cut, bled, torn to pieces, shredded like a piece of cheap meat. He hung on a cross, bared himself to the world, took the crown of thorns on his head so you could be born again, get forgiveness of your sins. And I know you're still probably going to mess up even later, but I'm still going to love you. But I want you to make sure you keep it all undercover. Don't let nobody know. When you get up in the morning, you can get you just enough Jesus to get up and breathe, but leave him at home. Don't take him to work with you. Don't take him to school with you, guys, whatever you do. Don't take him to school. You just put him in his little box when you walk out the door and you go to Walmart without him. See what happens. And I know it's you live in a small community, but listen, when you go on vacation, make sure you don't take Jesus. But you only get him. There'll be a little sign for you undercover Christians out there. I'll put him in a little box, and I'll give you that little hammer that says break in case of emergencies. And then when something tragedy begins to happen in your life or you see it, then you go home and just tap on that, break the glass, and get him out and see if he can do something for you then. Come on, that's how a lot of Christians live. That go to church on Sunday. And then we become ashamed and embarrassed in front of the world. It's the most proud thing you ought to be proud of. They're going to call you weird. Look at me, I've been weird all my life. I count it as a privilege to be odd for God. Now, I don't want to be running people off, but if standing on the promises of God is weird, call me weird. If not backing down from the fact that a man's a man and a woman and a marriage is between a man and a woman, and if that makes me nuts, then I'm screwed on the right boat. Go ahead and put it up.
Amen.
You promote what you're proud of. Every single person in here, you promote what you're proud of to some extent. You don't believe me? Now, don't do it right now. Pull out your social media pages. Go to your Facebook, your Twitter, your X, or whatever that is now, and go to your Instagram page and just look. And your own testimony, what you're putting on your page, is what you're most proud of. And do you know for probably about 78 to 90% of Christians, there's not even a hint that you're even saved on your social media? There ain't no evidence that you even saved or what church you go to or you're proud to be a part of a church and what God's doing there, nothing. But you'll get at church and talk about, boy, I wish we could grow. You promote what you're proud of. Let me tell you what you will see. You'll see a lot of pictures of your spouse. That should be there.
Yeah.
If you got kids, that should be there. You ought to be proud of your marriage and your kids. But outside of that, you don't need no pictures of you hanging out at the bar on Friday night and then at the church on Saturday night or Sunday morning. You don't need no pictures of you sitting there hitting them with your arm around somebody else's wife. Get that junk off of there. How stupid can you get and still breathe? There's no place for that in the kingdom of God. What's wrong with you? You promote what you're proud of. I got to get back to my list because we got to get there. I told you, I'm going to try to be better. Three things to overcome the devil. First one is the blood of Jesus. The second one is the word of your testimony. And then the third one, the one that's always left out. They did not love their lives to death. In other words, that means they would die for what they believe. Everybody say, let's get real. I know we've been pretty real. Is your faith, your words, your testimony about the blood of Jesus, is it one you would die for? Because if it's not, you're not ready to live for it yet. You're playing somewhere in the between. You play in this religious game with the Word of God. And with the days that we're walking into, we're getting ready to separate the tares from the wheat and the sheep from the goats.
That's right.
They may all look alike, they may all sound alike, but on the day of judgment, they're going to be separated.
Amen.
So this trying to play out here in the field and blend in with the world, but yet still try to be a Christian, ain't working. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. Got good news for you. It's never worked regardless of how you played it. Either you're hot or you're cold. Either you're with God or you're against God.
Amen.
I hope you come back next week. I want some more of that sweet, funny marriage message. Blood of the Lamb, the words of your testimony, and your testimony has to be to the point you'll die before you'll give it up. As I'm studying this morning, three things to overcome. God himself is three parts: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And if you've been here on a couple of Wednesday nights ago, I went way into overtime on your identity of who you are in Christ. And according to Thessalonians, we are made in the image of God, and we are three parts. Come on, church, say it with me. We are spirit, soul, and body. Three indistinct parts make up who you are. You have a spirit. Your soulish realm is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your heart, your conscience, your flesh, your carnality is the other things. It's called a lot of things. And then you have your body, which just houses your spirit and your soul. what I call the old dirt bag here, the flesh pod. The flesh pod, your body does whatever you tell it to do. It'll listen to the soulish realm, whether the soulish realm honors God or not. All sin is formed out of your soulish realm. It's your mind, your will, and your emotion to say, yeah, I want to go out here and party and get drunk. Yeah, I want to go cheat on my spouse. Yeah, I want to fornicate against God. Yes, I believe I'm something different than what God made me. That's where all that comes from, your soulish realm. So everybody say spirit, soul, and body. And I'm not here to preach that or teach that. I did a whole session on that Wednesdays. Not recorded, but you can go back 3 or 4 years ago, a sermon series called All of Me. I spent a week on each one of those. But this morning I'm sitting there, and I'm praying over this message, and I'm seeing three parts of God, three parts of us, 3 days to raise up over death, hell, and the grave. So God's got a thing with threes. And as I'm studying this, it just leaped off the pages in the power of the Holy Spirit. And right here in this, the way to overcome Satan is three parts, and it also is spirit, soul, and body. Now watch this connection. I just got this morning. I've never seen it. Spirit. What's the first one? We overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb, the Spirit of God. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So the blood of Jesus was literally the Spirit of God being poured out. So that's the spirit part, represents the spirit. The second thing is what? The words of our testimony. That's your soulish realm. You get to decide in your mind, your will, and your emotions what your words are going to be about Jesus. That represents your soulish realm. And then your body. What's the last thing? We do not love our life to death. I'll lay down this body in death before I'll deny Christ. Whew. I got goosebumps on it. I don't know if y'all did. But your spirit, soul, and body, every part of you can overcome the enemy. It's not just in the soulish realm. Your spirit cannot agree with the soulish realm against the flesh of God, against the flesh of man. In other words, when the flesh wants to do something and the spirit, one of them's going to win. But your body is going to perform whichever one who wins. But if you get back to your identity in Christ, you say the blood of Jesus. The Spirit of the living God is upon me because I've received and I declare the blood of Jesus has washed my sins away. And in my mind, my soulish realm is going to come into compliance with my spiritual wisdom and knowledge and anointing. And my mind and my body now is going to give a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my body says we'll die before we'll deny him. So you can overcome spirit, soul, and body. Anything the devil throws at any three of those, you can overcome it by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and be willing to die for it. He has no power over you. Thank you, Jesus. That's free. That didn't cost you nothing. So who wants to see the victories now? And maybe you wasn't armed up with all this knowledge to get it, but if you can just, and we just tapped into it today. Now, this is not a series. I'm going to be on something else next week. But today, the first thing you got to do to see a victory is you got to believe these words of God. And I want to leave you with the last word of God today, found in our book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17. You just declared it during a song. Can I encourage you during worship, don't sing to God. I know I'm getting a funny look again. Worship is not singing. You can sing anything you want. But when you lift your voice in song and you begin to not just sing it as a song, as something you're throwing up there, you begin to use the words to make declarations in your song. You begin to proclaim during your song. You begin to prophesy with your songs. That's what true worship is. It's not just turn to the page, this right here, or look at the screen. It's when you see those words, you adapt them. That's me. That's the word of God for me. I prophesy that over me and my family and my church and my area and my nation. I declare those things. Out of my spirit sings that declaration. So when you sing the song, I'm going to see a victory, you need to expect to see a victory. Yes. Amen? Yes. You need to expect what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it to good. Yes. You need to expect that. Don't declare something you don't believe in. Yes. Just sit there and hum. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. The Bible says this, no weapon. Not the physical weapons against you. Not the financial weapons against you. Not the mental or the psychological weapons against you. No weapon formed against you, your marriage, your finances, your kids, your health, anything you're involved in. If you know who you are in Christ, you understand you are spirit, soul, and body. You understand the authority of the word in you. Then no weapon, the Bible says, formed against you shall prosper. Everybody say nothing. The word prosper means this. These weapons won't succeed. Prosper means to succeed and to be victorious. That means these weapons will not succeed against you, and they will not be victorious over you. If you've got the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you're ready to lay your life down for it. Come on now. Amen? Now real quickly, we're going to move on. Come on up. Scary, I got you up here early. Of course, he says I come up, but he may be playing 20 more minutes behind me. Did he shake his head? Yeah, he did, didn't he? Anyway, I'm going to turn around. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now watch this. And every tongue. Doesn't say every bullet. Doesn't say every sword. Why? Because the most deadly weapon known to man is the tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death. So Bible's right. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment. Now watch this. Read those next words with me. You shall condemn. But what have we been taught in the modern day church? Don't judge. I tell my kids, you better judge. You better judge everything that's coming at you in life, whether it's of God or not. Now, you're not nobody's judge whether or not they're getting into heaven or hell. That's their personal choice. But you better judge the fruit you're seeing. Amen? We're taught when something comes against us, I don't know if, hang on, cameraman, you ready? Something bad's happening to me. Ah! I got it with my foot. It's okay. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you. Oh, help me. I'll be up in a minute. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, would you help me, Lord? Oh, Lord, you see this big mountain in front of me? Lord, take that mountain away from me, God. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I've done this for you, Lord. I've done that for you. Oh, Lord, Jesus, how am I going to do this, Lord? Oh, Lord, it's bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's bad. I think I broke a cameraman's neck. Where'd he go? Where did he go? Look here, I made my iPad disappear. Oh, Lord, do something. Oh, Lord, intercede on my behalf, Lord. Oh, Lord, send an army down, God, to help me. Now, that sounds really kind of Christianese holiness, I guess. But it's not biblical. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. You that have the blood of the Lamb. You. This is where your testimony comes in. This is where your words matter. You who have a word of testimony about the power of God, and you who will give your life for it, you step up to that thing and you say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not come nigh to my dwelling. Thus saith the word of God. Now you declare it's the word of God. It's the word of God, but now it's your word because of who you are in Christ. And you have the authority to condemn the words that are not God's. But now listen to me. If it is God's word, you better leave it alone. If somebody comes up to you and gives you a truth that you don't like, if it's God's word, look at your neighbor and say, you better leave that alone and receive it. You don't rebuke the word of God just because you don't like the word of God. And some people will get this teaching and just because when somebody says something they don't like, oh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. It don't work. I'll step out further and say this. If you're married, rebuking your spouse don't work that good either. I've tried several times. She's tried several times. It just, I think it's because we're one, we're really trying to rebuke ourselves. It just don't work. But now other, okay, anyway, we had a little fun there, so straighten up. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Now watch this. This is the what? Heritage of the saints of God. Now, if you ain't a saint of God, which means more than more or less, if you're not born again, you don't have rebuking power. You cannot condemn those words because you are condemned yourself. This is for the body of Christ to walk in. Amen? It's our heritage. In other words, Jesus died where we could speak the things that come against us in these weapons. It's the heritage of the saints of the Lord. Watch this now. And their righteousness is from me. That's why when you're operating in the God's righteousness, you will not rebuke a word that God's given you to bring you correction. Oh, I love the word, but I don't love the word when it corrects me. No. Look at that. Your righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's not your righteousness you do this in. It's the Lord's righteousness. Somebody say that's right. Heritage means your inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. It's in the bloodline. A heritage means it's in the bloodline. But it also is the word there for inheritance, which means for you to get an inheritance, somebody has to die. Jesus died for you. So you could have this heritage of his bloodline. And because he's died, your inheritance of his power, the power of his name, the power of his word, the power of his anointing now lives in you to speak to anything that tries to form itself against you. Or your marriage, or your children, or your church, or your business, or anything that you're involved in. When the enemy forms a weapon, it won't prosper. It won't succeed. It won't be victorious. But now watch this. I want to close with this right here. Notice what this scripture, back up one if you can. I don't know if you can or not. But anyway, go back to the first verse I give you on this one. Man, they're good up there. Yay for that. It doesn't say a weapon won't be formed. So we act shocked when something comes against us as Christians. Oh, this is not supposed to be happening to me. Are you better than Jesus? Because they formed weapons against Jesus when he walked here all the way to the cross. But it didn't prosper. It didn't succeed. And it wasn't victorious over him, was it? No, but it was formed against him on purpose. And there's people in your life right now forming against you on purpose to betray you, to backstab you, to bring you down a notch, to see your marriage destroyed because their marriage is destroyed. They want your marriage destroyed. They don't go to church. They're going to offer you to go hang out. Don't go to church. Go over here with us this morning. Come on. They like you better broke. The weapons are forming, but they're not going to prosper. And what the enemy meant for evil, God always turned it for good. Stand to your feet. The first line of that song, the weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper. They're formed. They're coming at you. And we'd be foolish as a growing church to say they're not coming after Journey Church either. You don't get a growing church without challenges of somebody coming in and getting upset and getting split and going this right here. They'll be formed against the church. They're formed against your marriage. They're formed against you. They're formed against anything that God loves. They're formed, but they won't prosper. That's a promise from the Word of God. The weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper. And when the darkness fails and falls on you, it won't prevail. Because the God I serve, I lay down my life for, I'm willing to give up my life, knows how to triumph. My God never fails. And that's why that song set this message up today. And I hope my prayer, I hope it becomes more than just a song to you today. Amen? Bow your heads with me real quickly. If you're here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've been playing church. You've been playing this. You may say, I don't even believe in God, or I don't know about God. Let me tell you something. He is real. You don't have to know everything to start just saying, He's real. I need Him. He's calling me to Him right now. I don't understand everything. Listen to me now. I got saved when I was 16 years old. I still don't understand everything, but my faith, I'll die for it. Because I know He's real. He's real. If He wasn't, I promise you I wouldn't be here today. I'd be out living to the flesh. But I'm not called to live to the flesh. I'm called to walk in the Spirit. Just like you are. Just like every believer is when he's called. So today's your day. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, without any strings attached, you will not join church today and you will not become a religious denominational person. You'll just surrender your life to Christ and say, I can't save myself. I can't pay for my own sins, but I believe with all my heart Jesus was real. He did die on the cross. He did go to the grave. He did raise up in 3 days, just like it says in His word. He and His word are one, and I believe to walk today now and learning the rest of my life and surrendering and let Him be my Lord. If that's you today, don't wait another day. Just lift your hand and say, today's my day. Anybody? Anybody in here? Maybe online watching today. Right there. Right there's one. Come on. Yeah, don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. Anyone else? Just throw that hand up. All right. How many of you today with me would say, I've not seen the victories like I want to? And I've let these things get on me and weigh me down. And I've acted like these weapons have power. And I've let these weapons have power through words and through opinions and through popularity and whatever. Physical, mental, emotional, financial. But today I'm putting a stop to it. Because I'm going to believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And not in my righteousness, but in the love and righteousness of God, I'm going to begin to use my words to condemn those words against me. Not the person, the words. Because God still wants to save the source of your pain too. He wants to save that man, woman that's walking in that deception. But you got to rise above it and say, those words may have been spoken, but they're not going to create my identity no more. You and your husband may be speaking words against each other right now, but no more. Now, you can't make their mind up for them, but you can make your mind up on your side. Choose to bless them and not curse them. Your kids, outside these walls. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, Lord, help me see the victories. They're already there. Spirit, soul, and body, they're there. Blood, my words, and my life for you. Now we're going to pray this together with that person that raised their hand. I love praying it as a family, even though you may have done been saved, but I just love praying the salvation prayer. And I'm going to ask that person especially, you need to pray this out loud. We say it with our voice. You confess, you believe with your heart, but you confess with your mouth. You shall be born again. So let's do this as a family. Dear Jesus, here I am. I know I'm lost without you. I know hell is my destination. But today, I'm in my now moment. I realize and confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are the Son of God. You came to earth and you died for my sins. I couldn't do it myself. I never will be able to. But today, I believe you did. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me like clean. Clean as snow. And I ask you to come into my heart, my spirit, soul, and body, and be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender all my life to you to live for your glory every day you allow me to be on earth. I love you, Jesus. And I could never thank you enough. So I'll just serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yeah, let's give it up. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.